Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Something like a phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Leeds got a win at Anfield and Arsenal march on. It's Monday, 31st of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Vinicius Andaraja.
And I'm Jim College.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you. It's Monday again. Fear not. It'll soon be Friday. And we've got a new man on the show, David Cartledge.
Good morning, everybody.
Get a load of you coming over from on the continent to on the ramble.
Yeah, it's a nice little change of scenery for
me. It's a nice little change of scenery. Yeah. Vish, why have you got loathed and dread in your eyes?
I'm slightly hungover. That would be part of it. But you made it sound like he jumped over like the channel to get here. He tried to break away from OTC.
Yeah, but here he is.
Did it successfully.
What happened yesterday, Vish? What was the big celebration?
No real celebration.
Was it end of the weekend party?
Trying to blot out the old feelings, huh?
Yeah. It's the post-Ken. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah. Man United, they held on.
They did hold on, yeah.
They are.
It was quite a nourishing win, I thought.
A nourishing win.
Yeah, it can be 1-0 and I don't really know what I'm saying at the moment.
Yeah.
No, it was good. I was at the NFL yesterday at Wembley.
Were
it
you?
Was a lot of fun. Different kind of football.
Yes.
I'm getting into that a little bit actually.
Yeah. Okay, we'll save it for
it's
another.
Good. Aren't you supposed to secretly be into NFL and then like three times a year it's like who are all these people that are suddenly into NFL? I thought you weren't meant to talk about it otherwise.
No, you can. You can, especially if it annoys people. It's always good to bring up.
Yeah, it's a little
bit like CrossFit.
We'll slag you off if you talk NFL. All right, chaps, let's have some highlights of the weekend, starting with you, Jim Campbell.
Mine was in the Man United game, actually, or specifically after the Man United game, in which Marcus Rashford had just scored a header to win
the
game, and his 100th goal for Man United as well, and he said he needs to improve his heading. After winning the game with a header.
But it's funny.
That is what's so great about Marcus Rashford.
He scored a header against Sheriff, didn't he?
Yes.
Was it the opening goal against Sheriff?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, is it me? I seldom do you see Rashford scoring a header.
Did you see what Neville said in commentary, though?
What?
He said he scores them all the time in training. Apparently his heading in training is incredible.
Is that right?
He said he's one of the best in the world doing those headers.
Best in the world.
Really?
In the
he
world.
Actually said that. I was a bit like,
Gary
what?
Neville.
Yeah. No, but I thought it was quite a rare thing. I'm sure someone will probably tweet me a compilation of all like 50 of his headed.
Well, that's kind of what he was talking about.
He had a good header saved before he scored that one.
Yeah.
So,
but I just liked how humble and sweet and how very Marcus Rashford it was.
Yeah, I know
what you mean. Yeah.
It's his 100th goal as well for Man United.
That's right, yeah. So, not too shabby. Vish.
My highlight is... I mean, I suppose it's... because of what he did, but also his interview afterwards, Crescencio Somerville.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw his interview.
Yeah.
He was just... Obviously, he scores a goal against Liverpool, that winner for Leeds, day before his 21st birthday. They interview him and you're like, are you actually 21? Are you going to be 21 or are you going to be 17? Because he's like, that kind of enthusiasm and like I don't know if you saw he's got like Disney eyes.
Yeah.
And he was like very wide-eyed, looking up at the guy who was interviewing him. And I just thought it was a very sweet moment.
He's also called Crescencio Somerville, which is just magnificent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Disney all around, though, isn't it? Mm. That was his last day of being a 20-year-old, wasn't it? Because it was his birthday, the 21st.
Yeah, so he was 21, on Sunday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Crescencio.
Hence you drunk to it. David, your highlight of the weekend.
It's not really a highlight. I mean, I'm sorry to start off my first ramble to some miserable sort of negative story, but Everton's badge on their third kit. What was going on?
It's quite weird.
It looked like a logo for a co-working space in North London or something like that.
Yeah.
Just this minimalist shit. Get rid of it. Get the old badge back.
It was just a blue blob, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's not really a badge, is it? It's just a shape. It's just a blue
really
shape.
Strange. It's like a lot of clubs are trying to do this like modern... minimal slim design. Just get the old badge back.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because the internet looks like that, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a shirt. It's not the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it represents. At least when Juve did it was a clear J, so we still know kind of what it was. This was just a blob.
It's piss poor.
A triangle, yes.
Yeah.
Appalling.
So that was more of a low light of the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, but you like that. You like feeling low, so for you it was a high
light. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, grand.
Cheered me up, yeah.
Being a Sunderland fan, it comes with the thing. My highlight of the weekend, if I may have one, was this happened three times in the Premier League. It happened at Fulham versus Everton, a match I was in attendance of. It happened, I think it was Brentford versus Wolves was the other game. And most notably, it happened in the Leicester-Manchester City game. People playing corners to the edge of the box for the volley.
Mm.
We saw Yuri Tielemans do it and he nearly scored, right? Which was the most notable one. But I think it was Willian to Andres Pereira and then... Forgetting Wolves, maybe it was to Ruben Neves. He'd probably be the one you would aim for. I'm all for that. And I thought, because I always used to think that was... You remember when famously Scholes and Beckham did that? Or Beckham pinged it to Scholes at way at Bradford City. I always used to think to myself, it was a bit of a waste of a corner. But actually, if you can get one of your technically gifted players who can strike a ball on the edge of the box with a free hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do it. I think I'm all for that. Pile it in.
I think it's nice to see some invention. I think if you look at a lot of set pieces these days, they're just all the same. A lot of free kicks, a lot of corners just hit the wall, don't beat the first man. So things need to change up a little bit.
Exactly.
I'm humble for it as well.
We're all on board with it. All right, gentlemen. Let's go to the Premier League. Liverpool 1, Leeds United 2. Leeds snatched a dramatic late win. Somerville, of course, celebrating his birthday eve with that goal. Leeds first win at Anfield since 2001. I tell you what, those scenes of celebration.
Yeah.
That was, you thought to yourself, because I think with those Leeds fans, everyone thought, if I'm honest with you, if that touched Patrick Bamford's hand in some way, they are going to be absolutely gutted. Yeah.
I felt sorry for the Liverpool fans sat near the Leeds end.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a sickener.
It would have been a sickener. But, what is going on? Let's celebrate Leeds' goal first,
massively.
Because we'll come to Liverpool in a moment. But, Jesse March, David, he's under pressure. Mm. And yet, it's that kind of thing that can galvanise a squad. And also, as well, if you saw the way the players celebrated with him after the game, running up to him and hugging him, I thought that was very, very telling.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And he said in the post-match interview, didn't he? He said, he doubled down. He said, we're trying to move forward together, or words to that effect, and he went, "We,
yes,
like that."
So it's
that was a hell of an afternoon.
The
for him.
Hunger and the energy from the first minute. I mean, if you go look at the first goal, just the way they pressed up as well. Like, I know they got a lot of turnovers high up the pitch as well, and just basically put Liverpool under a lot of pressure because everybody knows what Liverpool are like at the moment. Mm. They're running on fumes, and they really, really made sure to attack that weakness of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, there was one moment that when Darwin Nunes made that run from attacking box all the way back to his defensive box. And I thought to myself, that kind of thing, you just don't see that with the Liverpool players at the moment. Vicious. No. David says they're running on fumes.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? When Thiago is one of your more energetic midfielders, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah.
A guy who plays like 70%, 75% of games a season.
Yeah, exactly. Who is like renowned as a stroller. And I mean that as a compliment. He's not the guy you want busting a gut. They're in such a weird place now that I think it goes beyond, we've talked about on the show before about having to lift yourself again after going so close in all competitions last season. Mm-hmm. But there's something not quite right that goes beyond losing Mane. It goes beyond, you know, that coming down from that high.
Because Manchester City have had not quite what Liverpool did last season, as it was going about two games away from the quadruple. But they've had seasons where they've been very, very close to, you know, Champions League glory and all the rest of it. So it's not too dissimilar, but it's never been this bad, the drop-off.
No, and I do wonder if... not that you necessarily need to think like this as an elite manager, you know, given that Klopp is an elite manager. But I wonder, when it gets to this stage, is everything beyond repair? Like, will Klopp have ever needed to have the capabilities to turn a team around this? Yeah. I know, like, people, you know, we mentioned the seven season stuff before, and certainly how things at Dortmund. But when you throw so much love, in particular, into a team and into a way of playing, how do you then
do it again, essentially?
Yeah, but how do you then broach the fact that it's not working, that and that, like, it, you need a complete refresh? Because if you've invested so much time and energy into you're going to believe it anyway.
Because when he first went there, obviously, they needed to get going, and it took him a little while.
Yeah.
And then once he got going, then, my goodness, you know, created one of the finest teams of our generation, you could argue. But as you say, when that goes wrong, then what do you do?
Yeah.
Because you can't, if you're reaching for the same levers, Jim, it's clearly not working.
Well, there is a sense that maybe he is trying to change the style a bit, and he isn't quite sure how to do it yet. Because, I mean, do you think that? Well, I think so, because if you the Liverpool team of past seasons have kind of overwhelmed teams with a just swarm of press, essentially. And it's just gone. It's just completely gone out of their game.
Graham Souness said Liverpool used to bully teams, now they're being bullied.
Yeah, and against Arsenal, he started with four forwards, which was kind of strange. And that, to me, implies that he's kind of fiddling, and he knows that something has to change, and he's got to recalibrate this in some way, and that he isn't quite sure how to do it yet.
Well, because at elite level, it's very difficult to do that.
Yeah, you can't, because there's so little room for error.
Totally, yeah.
Like Vish said, he's an elite manager, but he has to... he is an elite manager, but the elite managers prove themselves by development teams when things go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he isn't able to fix this, then it will leave question marks over him. Despite even all the success as well, you have to look at a manager, you have to see how you can progress a team, how you can change it to make it better when you get in situations like this. Now, I think they failed massively in the transfer market. I don't think there's any quick solution in January either. I think it's next summer. I'd generally be looking at next summer if I'm Liverpool. Because it's a very aged squad. You look, they were chasing a goal, and they brought on Curtis Jones, Milner and Henderson when they were chasing a goal.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Mm. They're going to get destroyed when they play even bigger teams with that sort of, you know.
Do you think Klopp will be there next summer?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yeah, I think they'd be stupid to sack him. I just think the squad needs reinvestment.
Okay.
You know, they've been linked with Saicedo from Brighton, for instance, and Tielemans. Saicedo is exactly what they need.
He'd be perfect for me.
You need to make sure that Thiago isn't constantly using his legs. Mm-hmm. He just needs to play, sit, create. You need somebody else who's just doing the dirty work behind them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, just to add to all that, I mean, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold said, you know, something's not going right. It was Liverpool's first home defeat in 30 league games. It's been a long time since we saw them lose a league game at Anfield. But going back to Leeds United, it's a great win for them, Vish. And Jesse Marsh's little, you know, what was it, flappy hand celebration was quite enjoyable on the sideline.
Well, his Ali G throwback. I remember being obsessed with trying to do that at school.
Yeah,
and there
that's
he
something
is,
different
yeah.
in America. That's is it not the tobacco thing?
What's it? What's the?
What do they call it? Packing or something? If something to do with tobacco in America.
Right.
Don't try it,
right,
kids. Yeah. That's it. But he said the guys are happy. There is music in the dressing room.
He's a bit corny, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Enjoyably so, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think he knows when the cameras are on him as well. Sometimes.
Well, he should do if he's being interviewed.
No, I'm not celebrating. No, it's just a little bit too much. Yeah. He's a bit cringe.
Do you think?
Yeah, he's definitely got believe and courage written in perma-mark.
But you're a
big
bit.
On a little
there's
sign,
a kind of very much a you know what I mean? Sporting equivalent of live, laugh, love going on there, absolutely. Yeah. But I think
play like no one's watching.
Yeah.
Actually, they are watching. You want to put. Yeah.
Wants to be friends with his son's mates, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that about him.
There is. But you know what? I mean, this sort of result is what forges kind of bonds and beliefs with a manager and his players, especially if the, you know, very few players would have played under a character like Jesse Marsh, I would imagine, in that dressing room. And also with between the team and the fans, which is really, really important. Yeah. It's a huge thing because, you know, Leeds are in a bit of a funny situation where their season could go either way, couldn't it? Yeah, like, more than any team in the Premier League. I think like it's still really unclear after, what, 11 or 12 games now, how this is going to pan out for them.
Totally.
And they need to build on this because I think they're better than we've seen.
Well, it's only their third win in 12. They lost the previous four and one win in six, you know, so it was a big game. And when you go to Anfield, despite what Liverpool have been doing, and let's be honest, Liverpool had chances. Should have won the game. There's no two ways about that.
Oh, but Meslier, 9 saves in the game. Absolutely massive performance from him.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is one of those things where it's like the goalkeeper plays for the team, so the team get credit for what the goalkeeper did as well. But like, my highlight of the whole thing was the goal. Absolutely batshit decision from Patrick Bamford to just like lift the ball up like that. and for that to pay off, there was so many things had to go right for him and for Somerville in that entire passage of play, and they nailed them all. And like, Klopp was obviously furious about that. It's like there's a 2v1 on the wing and then 3v2 in the box, no challenge comes in at any point, and then it's just to sort of like glide through like that.
And Gomez moved from the wing into the box and did nothing. And Thiago and Van Dijk, I think, were the two.
Gomez is on thin ice already.
Well, I was going to say, we haven't even mentioned the first goal, for crying out loud. Who, you know, was it entirely Gomez's fault? I think maybe one could look at Alisson as well.
I think, as comical as that goal was, I can see exactly how it happened. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't attribute blame to either Gomez or Alisson, but it's made to look worse by Alisson's slip. Because Gomez plays a pass that, you know, Liverpool, Man City, those are probably the two teams that do play that pass, where it seems a bit high risk, but you've got a ball-playing goalkeeper who is coming outside of his goal, moving right to the, you know, right to the right-hand edge, probably gets that pass and relays it to the other side, like pings it out wide to Robertson, but slips, Gomez, and, you know, suddenly Rodrigo's through and, you know, it looks shit, but I can understand how it happened. Yeah. And I don't think it needed to be overanalyzed, and I think that was good. Like, Klopp didn't. Klopp was like, that is a
point. They equalised fairly quickly, and
they did.
To add insult to injury to Liverpool, Tim Howard, former Everton goalkeeper, said Liverpool season is just going to be blah.
It does feel blah. That way, yeah. though, doesn't it? He's not wrong.
And he's not wrong. I tell you, you remember when obviously Alisson scored that header and it helped Liverpool finish fourth, and Klopp was delighted because he was well aware of the situation. Liverpool would bite your hand off at fourth now, wouldn't they? Surely.
If they don't get that, do you still think Klopp would be there in the summer?
I still think he's going to be there. Yeah,
I think he's got enough credit in the bank.
Yeah, I think he's got enough credit. I think there's acknowledgement as well that squad building hasn't gone right. Yeah. I think there's some things behind the scenes as well. I know they're without a team doctor apparently now as well. So the conditioning's gone wrong as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah. The Arthur Mallow situation is unfortunate.
Well, yeah, it's an odd one.
Very weird,
but Liverpool are not Chelsea, chaps. We can all agree. So he might well be there. Speaking of Chelsea, they got beaten 4-1 by Brighton in the Graham Potter derby. His first defeat as Chelsea manager. Roberto De Zerbi's first win since taking over from Potter at Brighton. Oh, bloody hell, Jim. What a game down at the Amex.
It's really impressive, isn't it? I mean... Brighton are so good at playing possession football against teams that you would expect to, you know, dominate the ball. And it kind of, it shocks teams quite a lot. And like every now and then you get a performance from a team where it's like, they don't just press a team. It's like a turbo press. Yeah. Like they use two games worth of energy in one. It's like they've got a video game power-up or something. And Brighton used theirs perfectly.
The entire team does it as well. Yeah. Like a swarm of bees. That's the thing. It's not just like a kind of a coordinated press from the front. The whole team will submerge on you, sort of thing.
So I mean, they forced two own goals.
Forced is the right word. Yes. Yeah. And Thiago Silva made plenty of ricks. And again, that was forced by them, yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, Trossard's having a great season, isn't he?
He's just remarkable.
He's fantastic. If he keeps this up, he'll definitely be overlooked for player of the season, but he may well get a shout for team of the season.
Yeah, that team's just... I just think their first 11's just really good. I mean, they didn't have Welbeck as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, the look the way that they played again. I think De Zerbi's going to turn out to be really good. I think he's an exciting manager anyway. Yeah, they're going to get pumped a few weekends. So, you know, I don't think they're going to deny that. They're going to get beat 4-0, 5-0 sometimes. But
do you think it could be that? But do you think it'll be that sort of boom or bust with De Zerbi?
I think it might happen sometimes. And other times they're going to look incredible and really dominate bigger teams.
Because our very own Jules Breach, of course, she... Mm.
Brighton fans. She was concerned about the start De Zerbi made and how Brighton would react under Potter. And of course, he hadn't won for a little while. But then you have a game like this. Mm-hmm. You're suggesting that actually De Zerbi is going to be quite enjoyable. Well, maybe 50, 60% of the time.
Yeah, really. I just think he needs time to instill his style. But I think the end result should be pretty good in time. He's an exciting coach. There's a lot of good players there. I thought Solly March was magnificent on Cucurella. He really did a job on him, just pressed him back and make sure, because Cucurella, if you look since he's came into Chelsea, he controls a lot of their play. A lot of what they do begins with him and at times ends with him as well.
But do you think he was affected by the atmosphere? Because they were ready for them, weren't they?
I was quite surprised from Brighton fans.
I didn't know
they had that in them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They could give it all the good old Sussex by the sea, but when they want it, they can be quite rowdy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Graham Potter himself has given a bit of treatment, which on one level is not surprising.
He looked hurt.
The volume of it was what surprised me.
He looks really. I felt for him.
I felt a little bit.
Which you'd think he'd be used to it because they booed him last year, didn't they? Astonishing. Still astonishing.
Yeah.
This was the perfect result for De Zerbi, wasn't it?
Totally.
In terms of not just getting your first win, but doing it against a team who are very good, very organised, are basically like a juiced up Brighton.
Yeah.
But also beating the guy who used to have the job at a time when Brighton fans, I think, were starting to wonder, God, we'll never have it that good again, will we?
Yeah, exactly.
This is part of the decline. Are we kind of correcting here? And yeah, like a hell of a result.
Yeah.
Also, just like because, you know, we mentioned Trossard before. The footwork from Mitoma and Trossard for that goal was remarkable. And that's what they do best. Their composure in awkward situations is phenomenal.
He almost looks like he's playing on autopilot at the moment, doesn't he, Trossard? He's just like, he's just purely instinctive and just like just so in the zone.
But you get one of those, or maybe a couple of those players who are decent players, but you know, maybe some fans haven't really, well, they would have heard of him, but they wouldn't have given him that much attention or whatever. And it's not a breakout season, obviously, but it sort of feels a bit like that in that you get one or two players who suddenly they're like, oh, you've got to have him in the fantasy team. Like everything they touch sort of goes in. And he's having one of those seasons. It's a rare beast, but it's a beautiful thing.
But you
and
wonder, is it a Michu or is it someone who's
A Michu's
like
a good example.
Kind of he's been doing it.
Level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's been doing it for a while, but I think you're spot on. I think he's certainly getting his flowers at the moment and people are more aware of him. Because, and this is purely only my ignorance.
But it's stats and not performances I'm talking about.
Yeah,
clearly he's been playing well.
Yeah,
I mean, Michi's not a perfect comparison.
He had a different role before, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he worked off the forward line, whereas now, I think with Maupay gone as well, he's given a bit more of a... And also, Welbeck isn't a clinical finisher. We all know that. So he's been encouraged to go forward a little more. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of got this little free role.
It's
really suiting him.
Yeah. There's also, like, I think, as I was saying before, like, it's purely my own ignorance, but there used to be times in the past where you'd look at a Belgium squad and he'd be in it. You're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And now it's a bit like, oh, okay, I get it.
What did you think of Chelsea? And obviously, it was a poor performance, but Potter tried a different system, Pulisic and Sterling at wing back.
It was just, it was a mistake.
He admitted it went wrong. He said, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
So,
it's just, I get
do you think he was trying to show off in front of his old mate?
It does feel that way, doesn't it? It's like, look how clever I am.
Yeah.
Oh, we see how you play. We're going to kind of go toe to toe with you, and then we're going to beat you. We're going to beat you. I'm going to beat you.
Who've got Solly March? Raheem there. Isn't what you're worried about.
It's like playing with your opposite hand in table tennis and beating your mate. You know, that's what he's tried to do. Basically,
he tried to Ronnie O'Sullivan. Then is that what you're saying?
I think that's right. Yeah. He tried and it didn't work. Pat Nevin said Raheem Sterling is not even in, not even a consideration for England's World Cup squad on current form.
Cheers. I had no idea Pat Nevin was involved in the process.
Cheers, Pat. Anyway, so...
Pat Nevin's good, though. I like Pat Nevin.
I like
good.
Him too, but I don't know where he's come from in this
room. I like this, though. He had a go at an England player, and he's... cheers, Pat.
Well, it appears that he's only good most of the time. Because on the basis of that, he sometimes gets something wrong.
When you say something like that about Raheem Sterling...
Pratt Nevin. No, he's not a Pratt. We like Pratt Nevin.
He's fuming.
And I just,
he's quietly I just
he really
wish,
means it. So he's pretending he doesn't.
You're never going to forgive him, are you?
I Nevin will. Listen.
He's done that. We've had him on the show, haven't we? Or rather, he's done. Did we do an interview with him?
You tell me. No, I think yeah. Look, I like Pat Nevin genuinely, but he's messed up there and he knows what he's done. And I look forward to the apology. We are.
He did give the ball away, what was it, 18 times, Sterling, in this
Pat
game?
Pat Nevin still,
I was going to say, what about that penalty Pat Nevin missed that time? He has been on Ramble Meets before. He's a lovely man. Speaking of lovely men, I want to talk about Potter's predecessor, Thomas Tuchel. Where has he been, I hear you cry, after that tumultuous end at Chelsea? He's been in India for 3 whole weeks with some Ayurvedic rejuvenation, a type of therapy that aims to balance the mind and body.
If I had to choose a manager that I would say was most likely to sort of transcend their physical form, he'd be right up there.
Bielsa?
No, but unbeknown
to him, he'd be a bit like, yeah, what?
Just a big floating brain thinking about tactics.
Yeah, but Guardiola.
Well, exactly. So all three of those men are you know, good candidates for that.
Guardiola would be shouting at
Tuchel, seems to be taking it into his own hands.
Guardiola would be shouting at individuals going, why are you not relaxed with me? But yeah, Tuchel said of the experience, I feel energised and calm. I would recommend this to anybody who wants to discipline the body and the mind. Basically, that is the template,
it
isn't
sounds
it?
Sounds menacing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't sound relaxed.
I think that's the template for ex-Chelsea managers. If you've just been sacked by Chelsea, you need to go to India for 3 weeks, some of this. I think that's just the ticket. So there we are. Gentlemen, I'd like to end the first half of a couple of stories, which are the opposite of being disciplined and calm. Did you see this in Serie A on the weekend? A coach threw focaccia at the opposition manager, and it drew blood. It actually drew
blood.
So
it's the Italian version for Battle of the Buffet.
Yeah, very good. Yes exactly.
Fracasso di focaccia.
I refer to you, David.
How stale was it?
No, it's not stale.
It's focaccina or something it's called.
Yeah.
All right.
It's slightly different, smaller, kind of tougher version, I think. So, I mean...
Actually, yeah, because if you threw a focaccia, it'd be like throwing a tray, wouldn't you? You'd have to, like, two-hand it. You wouldn't be able to get
distance. Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
So I think this is a smaller, harder version that's obviously been thrown with
very
some...
oily as well, so you might get a bit oily if you go. That would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oily wound.
Oily wound.
Well, Monte Vici, they lost to Cesena 3-0, and then, while the Cesena coach, Domenico Toscano, was given a post-match interview, Monte Vici boss, Roberto Melotti, came in and just started hurling insults, and then he hurled this piece of bread at him, and it whacked him in the face and like drew blood. I mean, that's mental. So yes, and Melotti also shouted, "I'm going to beat you up sooner or later."
Bread's just a warning.
Presumably, he's being featured in, I don't know, the Beano next week or something.
It sounds like he needs to go to India to a retreat.
He definitely needs a bit of that. Oh, my goodness. All right, I think we've got time just before the break. We've got a Mauro Icardi update, don't we, Jim?
Yeah, we do. So Mauro sacked Wanda as his manager. She wants €1 million for negotiating his move to Galatasaray. He does not believe he legally owes her the money, but she wants to be paid as soon as possible.
Okay.
Who do we think is going to win that?
Yeah. Is that the end of it now?
It's relatively tame for them, isn't it?
I'll give you over a million euros.
Yeah.
I imagine there are contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine he's never seen them.
Yeah.
She's going to get her money.
We heard a rumour that Wanda's in London at the moment.
Yeah.
There's talk of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in London. There's pictures of her in doing the whole touristy thing in London.
Oh, right.
We could have had her on and got her side of the story.
Yeah, we've really dropped the ball there.
Yeah, yeah.
And see if we get Mara to phone in as well.
Maybe she heard that there's a borough called Wandsworth and she's wanting to rename it slightly.
Maybe she's meeting Rebecca Vardy and they're working on a project together. God knows what.
Careful.
Or wouldn't that be...
Carefully. I can hear the lawyers getting fueled up by this. Let's go for a quick break.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're a player, and I've been involved, we didn't win the league for 30 years at Liverpool, right? Just look at me when I'm talking to you.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now, today is your last chance to vote for us in the Football Supporters Association Awards. The link to the vote... to the vote is in the show synopsis. Thank you so much to everyone who has voted so far. Come on, get us that trophy. Like I say, it will really annoy a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what the Ramble's about. Yeah. Right?
Also, everybody, exciting news. The Ramble is on Twitch tomorrow. Myself, Pete and Vish are watching Marseille versus Spurs on Twitch from 7:45 and then recording at Ramble Reacts Live, where we'll be talking and taking your questions. So head over to twitch.tv/thefootballramble. The link is in the show notes as well. So we need your vote and we need you watching along Twitch tomorrow night. So plenty of stuff for you to get involved with there. Right, gentlemen, back into the Premier League we go. And oh my goodness, talking of back, Diego Costa's back in business. Come on!
This is what we wanted.
It'd been fairly quiet, David, his life back in the Premier League for old Costa. He'd missed the odd chance in. He's playing a bit of football. Da-da-da-da.
Playing a bit of football.
Yeah. And then, well, he's getting older. And in the 7 minutes of added time, he headbutted Ben Mee while he was being marked off.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chief shithouse is back.
He is.
Next available on Boxing Day.
Yeah. We should say.
On his way to Brazil as we speak.
I love it. 97th minute as well.
Yeah.
He's trying to get it in. He's like, shit, this is my second spell back in the Prem. I might not have another chance to do this. And she's like, in there. Yeah.
Oh. And it's his first red card.
In the Premier League. League.
Obviously.
I reckon he thought VAR's probably clocked off now. Yeah. It's like,
After the game, Steve Davis said, well, you know, he has to play on the edge to be the player he is. It's like, he has to headbutt people in the 97th minute
it's
off the ball.
Off.
He has to do that, does he?
I know. Ben Mee scissor kick though, eh? Classic stuff. Speaking of Ben Mee, by the way, everybody, tomorrow Kate Mason sits down with the big man, Ben Mee, in a brand new episode of The Drop-In. It's a very good listen, most of all because Ben reveals once and for all whether Sean Dyche really did used to eat worms on the training ground.
Do you think Ben Mee would prefer to be headbutted by Diego Costa or sit down with Mason for an hour?
Well, he's had both recently, hasn't he?
So,
which would he undo?
I thought you were going to say, or eat worms.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go for worms, but you went for...
Yeah, I don't know that Kate didn't headbutt him, to be fair.
That's true, yeah.
I'd love to be headbutted off Diego Costa.
Would you?
Yeah, if I was going to be headbutted off anybody, that's who I'd want to be.
So right, but yeah, it feels like, it's an anecdote, isn't it?
Yeah, because I don't think it would... Yeah, because if you chose... Duncan Ferguson would be a poor choice. Because that would be a proper headbutt.
Glasgow kiss.
Exactly. Mm. I think I would choose Alan Pardew because it's not really a headbutt. It's a little head brush.
I wouldn't want his head that close to mine.
Very good point.
Yeah. I just wouldn't want him close to me.
Yeah. You get a waft of links, wouldn't you? gentlemen, let's go to the Emirates. Arsenal 5, Nottingham Forest 0. Yeah. Manchester City briefly took top spot, of course, but then Arsenal roared back to claim their rightful position at the top of the Premier League, Jim. It's happening. It is happening. You're going to win the league.
Stop doing this.
Well, they're doing it. They're top.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good performance, actually. The first half, because Arsenal have been quite sloppy recently, actually, and rode their luck a little bit, and the performance against PSV last week was not good. Southampton wasn't great. The kind of Leeds rode their luck a little bit as well.
But
the performance level dipped. And actually, last season, what would have happened here is we'd have lost three games.
Yeah.
Whereas this season, they've kind of scraped results where they've needed to, still got points on the board. And I was kind of a bit worried about it. It's like, well, if you're getting those results, you need to be able to play yourself back into form. And in the PSV game, it's like, no, it's not happening. And this is, let's be honest, it's a kind fixture, bottom team at home. Mm-hmm. And Arsenal just, they recalibrated and they clicked. And that second half in particular, I mean, there was a bit of a scare in the first half when Gabriel squared essentially to Jesse Lingard, which is, you know, absolute banter narrative all over it. But Ben White, who was exceptional again, and in my view, simply has to go to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Sorted it out, and second half it was just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was scintillating stuff from Arsenal, and Martinelli with a great goal to get proceedings going. David, I mean, a lovely diving header.
Yeah, he's a fantastic player. I think he can do it all. He's the way, the intensity that he plays with. He always seems to be playing at 100 miles an hour, but he always seems in control. And it's really, really impressive from him. He's an excellent player. And I couldn't agree more on Ben White as well. His form has just been incredible. And also, you get the option of having him as, he's been playing a right wing back a little bit. He like just drops out on
but
the right.
He looks so natural. The overlaps that he's making, he's getting crosses in a lot of a good quality. And also, he essentially created the dummy run for Saka to put the ball into Martinelli in the first place in that situation. He's such an intelligent player. And I know that he played in a kind of defensive midfield role at some points for Brighton. So I'll be interested to see if actually he ever moves over there as well, because he's so versatile. And Arteta likes that in his defenders. I mean, Tomiyasu and Ben White are both centre-backs in some games, and they're both kind of tearing up and down the wing. Tomiyasu a little bit less so, but that versatility is a big reason why, you know, Arsenal are managing to find solutions in games. But he has really been standing out for me lately.
Yeah, Bukayo Saka went off injured, Vish.
Yes.
We've no update on that at the moment, but we obviously hope it's not serious, because the World Cup is just 3 weeks away. That would be a great shame if he was to miss out there. But staying within the context of the game, you know, Reece Nelson comes on. And
forgotten man.
Yeah.
So happy for him.
What an afternoon he had.
I generally thought, I think he, there was talk maybe a couple of weeks ago that Arteta was going to use him more in Europe. And I can't remember what the game was, but remember he came on in like the 91st minute or something like that. Mm. And it really felt like he was kind of on his way out. I've never really known what to make of him, to be honest, because you saw flashes when he was younger and you were like, oh, there might be something there. And he seems to have plateaued massively.
The classic Arsenal Academy youngster.
Massively.
Like a few flashes. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to be the one. And then suddenly he just flails out. But I think there's a potential opportunity for him, because if I were to criticise Arteta for anything, I think he's overused Saka a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he needs to manage better in terms of...
He wanted a right winger in the summer, and I think that's why. And obviously it's a difficult position to fill that, isn't it? Because it's not a million miles away from understudy to Harry Kane, isn't it? Yeah. You know you're not going to be first choice, and obviously you're not going to get... Arteta's and Arsenal's policy at the moment is to sign younger players, so it's really difficult to come and fight for a place when you've got Saka in front of you. Yeah. And actually, that's why this is so useful. Arsenal really need every player kind of involved and contributing, and hopefully Reece Nelson will be confident enough that, you know, he can keep doing that when he's called upon.
And also, obviously, very different player to Saka, but Smith Rowe's been injured.
Yeah.
Who's another one who can play along that sort of, those sort of areas of the pitch. Nottingham Forest, they're struggling, and Steve Cooper was quite damning about his players' attitude after the game, saying, among other things, the situation we're in, the bare minimum you have to do is stand up and be counted and be hard to beat. And the way he went in on them, on his players, I mean, it's very understandable, but he said, you know, you can lose games, you know, and the performances, you know, you can have off days and so on. But he's talking about the basics here, Vish. Mm. He's talking about, you know, as he says, standing up and be counted for. And this is worrying, because you have such a large squad. You have, you know, much has been made about all that kind of stuff.
Literally just signed a 5-year deal as well.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think of that?
I don't really know, to be honest. I think it does make sense, doesn't it? Because we've spoken about all the signings they've made, and they had to make them because of the size of their squad when they got promoted, because of all the loan signings they lent on last year in the Championship, or last season rather. And there was always going to be, you know, it's just standard teething issues when you have players you haven't played together before. And also, I suppose on the emotional side, like getting them to pull together for the club, it's easier said than done, I think. When things are going well, when they have that Liverpool win, everyone looks together. But I think you could say, and maybe I'm being wise after the event here, but I think there are a few times you can watch Nottingham Forest, or had watched Nottingham Forest this season, and think there was something a little bit off. I don't mean something like drastic, but just necessarily like the kind of effort that they put in. It feels like, you know, when they're really bad without the ball, which you think for a team at that, you know, that end of the table, knowing that they're going to operate on that end of the table, that's just the fundamental that you just know you're not going to get much of the ball and you need to be more active off it.
It's strange because when Cooper was at Swansea, I thought their best quality was when they were without the ball.
Right,
they were
yeah.
so organised mm-hmm. and coordinated in how they played defensively. But I think you sign that many players, it's difficult to actually impose an identity.
Yeah, yeah.
Get everybody knowing each other who's playing week in, week out alongside you. And there's a few players as well who just haven't really featured enough, like people like Dennis, who, you know, Dennis Lodi from Atletico, who I think is a really, really good fullback on his day as well. And these guys haven't really played that much.
Mm. Yeah, it's a funnier one, and they really need to sort it out soon because you would hate it if it became, sometimes in the Premier League, you get that one team who are just doomed to relegation quite early on. And it'd be a great shame for them, having waited so long to come back up, that if indeed by sort of January, February, it becomes sort of quite obvious. So, yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen.
The only boon for them, really, that we mentioned last week as well, is that they're not adrift, are they?
No, definitely not. And they did beat, they did beat Liverpool. It's still a scalp, for crying out loud, especially for a newly promoted side.
You look at those two games and you think, if you said to them, right, you're going to be playing Brighton, Liverpool and Arsenal, and at the end of those three games, you're going to have 4 points.
Yeah.
That's really not that bad when you put it in.
Yeah.
No, of course. And you've got Wolves, Leicester, Southampton, you know, the three teams above them who have been in the Premier League. I mean, Wolves and Leicester will obviously be very disappointed with their positions, but they're still there and it's still all to play for. Manchester City, they did beat the aforementioned Leicester City 1-0, of course. And they were top for a short period of time, but Arsenal kicked that into touch. A superb free kick from Kevin De Bruyne was the only goal of the game. The reason why I want to talk about this is because we've often cited Pep Guardiola going over to Nathan Redmond after that time Manchester City beat Southampton. I think it was at the Etihad. I'm pretty sure it was at the Etihad that game. And he just went mad at him because, why did you not play like that? Well, he's had a bit of a moment like that here, because he went over to speak to James Maddison at full time in his sort of usual passionate, intense manner. And James Maddison said he was asking why we didn't play like that. He was asking why we didn't play like the last 15 minutes for the whole game. And it's such a Guardiola thing to do.
Like, you dickhead.
Yeah.
Your players.
You could have got something against us. It's just wonderful.
I thought Leicester were awful. I'd be so pissed off if I'm a fan. I'm going to see my team at home against City coming there. They just didn't attempt to rattle them at all.
Mm. Mm. Not even in the last 15 minutes.
No, and I get it. You don't want to be open because you don't want Man City to run rampant. But come on, you get the news that Haaland's not going to be in the team.
Yeah.
As well, you think, I tell you what, we could maybe have a go at them here today. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't.
Yeah.
Really bland.
Yeah.
Teams do forget that's an option sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
They've almost lost the game before they started.
Yeah, true. I know. I do agree with you, but sometimes it's a lot easier said than done.
I know. Obviously that's the case. But whenever City do lose, it tends to be that someone's kind of
you have to have good teams. These teams have all got weaknesses. Leeds had to go to Liverpool. Yes, Liverpool are in a bad position at the moment, but still, you went to Anfield and they really went at them.
Villa under Steven Gerrard got a point.
Exactly. You've got to have a go, otherwise, what's the point?
Got to use your turbo press.
Yeah.
You only get one a season. Use it on them.
Did Bournemouth use theirs up, Jim? Because they were 2-0 up against Tottenham Hotspur.
All in the first half.
Yeah, but they ended up losing 3-2. Good fight back from Spurs, you have to say. 92nd minute winner, of course, from Bentancur. But I mean, Bournemouth looked very good. And Kiefer Moore nodding in, as he does, the Welsh Olivier Giroud.
Because Kiefer Moore is so tall, not enough is made of how handsome he is.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No, I mean,
he's the cheekbone.
He's the Welsh Olivier Giroud.
You're absolutely right.
He totally is. And I could be a starter for Wales at the World Cup. Chaps, what do we think? I mean, he'll certainly feature.
Yeah. I thought he took the first goal brilliantly.
Yeah.
Like the idea that he, you know, running into him and putting it the other side of Lloris was a great technique for the finish.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be a bit out of his depth, actually, but I think he's got 3 league goals already this season.
Mm-hmm.
And
at least,
Yeah, pretty incredible header as well. Although, was that not the most underwhelming comeback from 2009 that you've ever seen? Something about it felt really meek.
Why?
And obviously that's partly because of Bournemouth. And I suppose the manner of the goals, but...
Why do you think that?
I think
for Premier League, do you think it's got a small stadium?
I think it's just the aesthetics of the goals that Spurs scored, I think.
Okay.
Like, Bentancur's winner was so... There was something a bit quite basic to it.
I know what you mean. It didn't feel like it was an injury time. It felt like it was, halfway through the first half.
I think it maybe felt that... There was an inevitability to it, though, because Spurs have been really, really good at just making sure they get over the line and get the points this season. And that's a credit to them, in a way.
To massively back up your point, by the way, Antonio Conte calmly walked down the tunnel when Bentancur scored.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Do you think that's worrying?
Will it, what, or do you think he learned from VAR and the sporting business?
You need to see him hyped up.
Yeah, well, no, but you do. No,
when he's calm, I'm like, what's wrong here? Like, I'm saying.
Yeah,
yes,
if you were a Spurs player, if you looked over and thought, oh, I want to see the gaffer going mad, and he's walked calmly, we're like, oh, we're going to get a telling off.
Yeah.
Should we do another lap of the ground?
Yeah. Exactly.
Can't go back in there.
I'm waiting until the coach fires up and then that coach is in the bus.
Vesuvius is quiet. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
He hasn't erupted in years. He's probably got up there.
I think he may have learnt from what happened against Sporting. I say learned. He's been burned from that. I think. Yeah. It's a good win for Spurs, though, so nonetheless. Yeah. Bournemouth, I mean, it's a shame for Bournemouth because obviously they weren't on that unbeaten stretch and then they lost a couple of games. And they were 2-0 up.
I don't think we should play down how good a win that is for Spurs. Being 2-0 down against anyone at halftime is like to come back and win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Especially at a stage, it feels like. So when they were 2-0 down, this is purely anecdotal based on my Twitter timeline. But a few of my mates who are Spurs fans were like, you know what, get rid of him. A few fans have lost their patience, perhaps, with Conte. Mm-hmm. I don't get it at all, but those are conversations that people are having right now.
Well, I think, but you know what football fans are like, you quickly adjust to your new surroundings. And actually, Spurs have been in the top three for most of the season.
Mm. Yeah.
And so they think, right, well, we want to stay in there. We want to at least qualify for Champions League. I mean, if Arsenal are challenging for the league title, they feel that they should be challenging for the league title. It's kind of understandable. But they also, the style of football has been questioned.
I think as long as Poch is on the market as well.
Well,
that temptation.
They've got to get over that.
Do you think there'll be a temptation to look at old Tommy Tuchel?
Oof.
I think Spurs have shown that they're good at attracting top-level managers now.
I think
you know, people are making the link of Tuchel to Liverpool just off the back of how he's followed Klopp before.
Yeah, that would... Yeah, I think...
Maybe this is why he's going to like a wellness retreat. Like
maybe.
He's seen that there's a job that might be becoming available.
Yeah.
The issue has been that the people in charge have been somewhat emotional. Mm. So he's trying to chill out.
I think a little bit more time needs to pass from that 2-2 at the start of the season and the handshake.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Of course.
Perhaps. I don't know. That could just be me. But, I mean, Spurs, though, they are third in the league. They're 5 points behind those Gunners. And they're 1 point place ahead of Newcastle United, who, of course, hammered Aston Villa 4-0. Not a hugely surprising result, the way Newcastle have been playing. And well, despite Villa beating Brentford, of course. Could Newcastle United clinch top four this season, chaps? What do we think?
I thought it was got to be aiming at it from this position.
I thought it was far too early still, to be honest with you. But the way...
The owners have said they're going to reassess... in January, aren't they?
Which means they're going to spend loads of money.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So we can't rule anything out, can you?
And presumably, Miggy Almiron is going to score in every game this season.
Yeah,
which gives them a huge advantage.
That's right. Do they need Jack Grealish to slag off more of their players? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is this one of the more enjoyable purple patches for any player?
Absolutely.
For a player from a team that we don't support.
I know what you mean.
Because he's very likable, and the way he took that goal. Yeah. I mean. A month ago, he's not hitting that in the way he hits that. Yeah. I know it was the last goal, so they had that cushion and you try a few more expansive things. But that was wonderful.
Mm.
The arc on that, fuck me.
Yeah, it was lovely.
He's got a lot of composure in his game from somewhere.
Yeah.
I've always seen him as a bit of a headless chicken, really. Uh-huh. And then suddenly now he's calm and cool and collected. So
he seems to believe in himself, which is the weird thing to say for a professional footballer.
No, but I mean, he's a human being after all.
He is. Have you changed your tune about Trippier?
What was my...
Remember, you had a go at him for joining, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And I said he should have at least waited till the summer. But, he could still be playing in the Champions League, although they did get knocked out Atletico Madrid the other week. So.
Are you circling admitting you were wrong?
I just think we're both right.
Newcastle would hammer Atleti at the moment.
They would. Yeah. But because of Trippier. But anyway. Gentlemen, let's stay for a moment with Newcastle and some funny opinions on them. The Right Honourable Richard Keys said on beIN Sport recently that Newcastle need to move their training ground to London to attract players, despite what you've just said about their good recruitment and so on. He said there's so much more. Full stop. outside of the capital, the facilities aren't as grand or appealing. You don't see players out on the town these days. So what difference does it make? He went on to say a load more.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah. Well, if you see the clip, you might be tempted to think that we've taken something at face value that is said in jest.
Yeah, I mean, we've really watered
really,
that down.
It really looks like he means this.
Oh, he definitely does.
He does. Of course he does.
He's a madman. Of course he means it.
Yeah. Do you think the streets are paved with gold in London? Has he forgotten what the UK is actually like?
Newcastle's lovely.
Yeah. Newcastle's a great city.
It's come up so much in the past few years. But it really has.
Look, and even if it wasn't, like, it would be such a stupid thing.
I just wish McAteer, who was on with him, said, Richard, why stop there? Why not just move the club down?
Yeah.
Jason McAteer, voice of reason.
Yeah, McAteer.
What is this
McAteer
timeline?
McAteer pushed back on him a little bit. He was just going like, I'm sorry, Richard, what are you talking about?
Yeah. But Andy Gray does that weird sycophant thing where he's like, I see what you're saying, Richard. I see what you're saying. It's like, you don't, Andy. You don't.
No.
Yeah.
How is Keys the alpha in your relationship? You were the player.
What does he mean about players out on the town as well? So he wants to move the training ground. Why are they going to be out in the town after training?
Yeah.
So they makes no the sense. Idea is also, so like, they can live in London where they won't go out, then go to training in London, travel up to Newcastle for every game.
You're applying logical opinions to this.
He's a fat-headed moron, isn't he?
He is.
Oh, dearie me. Gentlemen, let's finish the show with something much more sensible and not open to any kind of piss-taking. There was a tweet from Chris this morning that said, I'm scared to listen to the Football Ramble this week knowing this, because this morning, David Ornstein, well-respected journalist, reported that Inter Miami are increasingly confident of signing Lionel Messi and expect to sign
him
in the coming months. If I didn't feel vindicated with Trippier, my goodness, I'm back on the wagon with this one.
I mean, is he going to do that?
Why not?
Well, because he's currently at PSG and Barcelona want him back.
Yeah, I think he can't return to Barcelona, surely.
But he can go to Inter Miami. That makes sense, does it? Yeah?
New challenge. No, he could, I just think returning to Barcelona, look at what happened. Look at Ronaldo at Manchester United. I know he scored some
Phil
goals.
Neville.
Yeah. David, what do you think? You're, you know, does
it's,
he...
It's a joke, but look... Look, being serious for a minute, I think Messi's already tarnished his legacy by going to PSG anyway.
Right.
So what's more, I mean, why doesn't he just finish it off and go and get coached by Phil Neville?
Yeah,
I mean,
doesn't he buy a place?
Hang on.
Or doesn't he own a place in Miami? Because I remember reading in the past that he likes the anonymity of Miami, because there's like very few places on earth where he can have that.
And it's pretty much Spanish-speaking there as well. Like, so he would fit in, but... when you say he's tarnished his legacy, presumably because he's going to PSG, their ownership, what they're doing, and so on. And you say that that is just as bad as being as coached as Phil Neville in terms of his legacy.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. The murky way that everything put it out in Barcelona as well.
Yeah.
It just lost a bit of the magic for Messi for me.
Right, I see what you mean.
Not as a player, please. Yeah, he's the greatest footballer I've ever seen in my life.
I know what you're saying.
But it's a bit murky. And just why not completely soil it?
Yeah. Or go to Newcastle.
Yeah.
I'll do the whole tour.
Yeah.
Insist that Phil Neville comes and manages Newcastle, as he was always destined to pre-takeover. Yeah. I'm so sad we don't get to see that.
Maybe Newcastle can move their training ground to Miami.
Now you're talking. Yeah. More days of sunshine, I hear.
Yeah.
So therefore it
would... They would know, they don't go out.
Exactly. Pointless. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Tomorrow, Kate is here with the drop-in with Ben Mee. And then, of course, we have Ramble Reacts with myself, Vish and Pete in your podcast feed first thing on Wednesday morning after a huge night in the Champions League. Tomorrow evening, big one for Spurs, of course. If you can't wait that long, you can join us on the Football Ramble Twitch on Tuesday from 7:45, and don't forget to vote for us at the FSAs. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Vidushan Hantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, David Cartledge. What a debut.
Thank you.
Miggy Almiron stuff.
Are you going to have me back?
I should say so. Bastard, putting us on the spot. Well played, sir. Thank you very much, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Something like a phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Leeds got a famous win at Anfield and Arsenal march on. It's Monday, 31st of August. Bollocks. He said August there. Deary me.
I mean, it hasn't been August in so long.
I know. Ridiculous.
Feels a bit like August.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.